Turn with us to the book of Genesis, chapter number 46. Genesis 46. I'm thankful we've got a city to go to when God is finished with us in this old world. Let's stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God this morning, found in the book of Genesis, chapter number 46. I'd like to read four verses today. Genesis 46. If you're glad you're saved, say amen today. Y'all are real quiet people this morning. And Israel took his journey. Who's Israel? Oh, he's Jacob. God saved him and gave him a new name. He's called his name Israel. And Israel took his journey with all that he had, and he came to Beersheba. And he offered sacrifices unto God his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night, and he said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. And I will go down with thee into Egypt. And I will also surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing and honoring the reading of the Word of God. Good to see Brother Gary Smith and Miss Christy back with us today. Brother Gary, would you pray and ask God's blessings on the preaching this morning? Yeah. Thank you. Yes, thank you.
So thankful for that. Thanks, God, that you're here with us this morning. We're just not here by ourselves, Lord, that you're with us when you meet with us and talk to us. You guide us, you lead us. Lord, we just thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, all that you,
yes,
that you care, the love that you show.
Thank you.
There's no world like that in the world. We take the blame.
Thank you.
Lord, I just pray your blessings on this week this morning, that everything done here be according to your will, Lord. And we'll thank you and give you all praise for it. And in Christ's name we ask. Touch my preacher and
help us.
Give him what he stands in need of this morning. We thank and love you in Christ's
name. Amen. Thank you, Brother Gary. This morning, I'd like to preach the sixth sermon out of this series of the double names or the double calls by God. God spoke many times through 66 books in the Bible to Bible characters, but only, you'll notice, 7 times did God ever speak to an individual when he called their name twice. We had came with the first message on Abraham, the father of our faith. Oh, what a blessing it was to be at Liberty Baptist Church that morning. And then secondly, we dealt with Simon, Simon. He said, Satan doth desire to have you and sift you as wheat. The devil is our enemy. He's walking to and fro in this world, seeking whom he may devour, who he may destroy. Then we dealt with the thought of the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road. He cried out to Paul of his name, Saul, Saul. He turned Saul from a bother to a brother, put him in the family of God. Then we preached on Martha, Martha. Martha looked at her sister, said, Lord, don't you care that my sister's left me to serve alone? And He said, Martha, Mary hath chosen the needful part, which shall never be taken away. You know, Martha had things right when she got distressed. She was in that whirlwind of life. She knew where to take her problems. She took them to Jesus. But I noticed something they're preaching this week in that text. She told Jesus. She came to Him and asked Him, but she told Him how to do it. She said, I want you to straighten my sister out and get her over here and help me do what I'm doing. And so Jesus didn't answer her prayer that way. He simply gave her truth and said, you too need to get back where you were at my feet. Like your sister Mary. So we dealt with Martha, Martha. Last Sunday we dealt with Samuel, Samuel. What a great Bible character. But this morning we come to the text of Genesis 46 and we find a character that the Bible speaks so many volumes about. His name is Jacob. Now Abraham was Jacob's grandfather. You remember when Abraham went to Mount Moriah to offer his son? It was Isaac. This is Jacob's daddy that Abraham took up to make the sacrifice and God intervened. They both came back together to the ones that was standing there waiting on them to mind God. But here this morning, this Bible character, Jacob. I want you to notice in chapter 37, if you'll bear with me a few moments today, I want to look at his negative engagements. Jacob and his negative engagements. Life was very difficult for Jacob. You remember that Jacob had Joseph, and Joseph in the Bible, there are many types, there are many shadows of Joseph as he is being Christ throughout the Old Testament. I'm glad that Joseph is alive today. And so Jacob, he had Joseph, and Jacob loved Joseph more than the other children. He made him a coat of many colors. And you remember that all of Jacob's brothers, they got envious and jealous at Jacob. And so they got envious and jealous of Joseph and they sold him down into Egypt. Well, now in this text in Genesis 37, Joseph has been gone from Jacob for 20-something years. The last time he seen Joseph, he sent him out after his other boys, want to know how they were doing. When Joseph got there, of course, they got him and they were envious. They cast him in a prison and they brought the coat back that Jacob had given unto Joseph and it was drenched in the blood of goats. What a great impression that here the daddy Jacob was having of his child Joseph that he was dead. And this negative engagements, I'd like to tell you that just because you love God, just because your parents serve God, that life wouldn't be difficult. But I really want to look in on this truth. We see life's difficulties. Jacob knew something about difficulties. Then not only in this negative engagements, we pick up in chapter 37, verse 20. Now here, Joseph has been cast in the place of death. They say, come now therefore and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. Here's Jacob's other boys is going to kill his child Joseph. And he said, some evil beast will have devoured him and we shall see what will become of his dreams. So in verse 28, they're talking about Joseph now. They passed by the Midianite merchantmen. They drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites, looked for 20 pieces of silver and brought Joseph into Egypt. Reuben returned to the pit. Behold, Joseph was not in the pit. And he rent his clothes and he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not, and whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat, killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in blood, and they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father, who was Jacob, and said, this have we found. Now, know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. Now, verse 33. Not only was it a life of difficulties, but look at this life of discouragement. The Bible said that he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. And Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. Now here Jacob finds himself in difficulties. Jacob finds himself in discouragements. But here Jacob finds himself so much in doubt. You'll notice what he said in verse 33. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. You know, the devil can paint some pretty believable pictures to you and I. It's amazing how the devil will take our mind, and the devil will be sure that we can get a little glimpse of something in order to discourage us. So here, Jacob, who we're preaching about, he's been thinking for 20-something years that the one that he loved the most was dead. Oh my, this morning, you'll notice that Jacob was a man that was mentality. He was always filled with doubt. Jacob had a great life of difficulty. You remember when he had stole his brother's birthright. His mother loved Jacob, and he put those goat skins on his hands, and he went in and he tricked his daddy Isaac of being the oldest child, Esau. And so there Isaac blessed Jacob and thought he was blessing Esau. And Jacob ran out because the brother found out about him. And Jacob began to run all the days of his life. Matter of fact, the word Jacob means trickster. He was a schemester. And so his whole life was seemed like filled with difficulties and doubt. You remember when Jacob got down to Laban's house, his uncle? And he seen a little girl come to the well named Rachel. And he loved her. He was starstruck. So he went back home with her and met her daddy Laban. And he said, I tell you what, I'm gonna make a deal with you, Jacob. You work 7 years and I'll give you my daughter. Boy, Jacob worked in the fields. And so all of a sudden, Laban brought the daughter into him. And so when Jacob unveiled her, he found out that it was not the one he loved. It was not Rachel, but it was Leah. The Bible said Leah was tender-eyed. She wasn't a lot to look at. I wonder, has God ever given you something that was very ugly in your life? I wonder that you've been working years for. You've come to find out it's really not what you thought it was or who it was. So here, Jacob had a very filled life of negative engagements. When he found out that he did not have Rachel, Laban said, if you'll work 7 more years, I'll give you Rachel. He did. He worked 14 years and he finally got Rachel, and he was so in love with her, and they had children. He stayed with Laban for 20 or 21 years. Jacob is an old man now. Through this whole process of time, we pick him up down here where some news is going to change. We see these negative engagements. But now I want you to look in chapter 45 and look at the needful encouragement. I'm glad no matter what life brings us that God is always on time. I would love to tell you if you would serve God and live for God that difficult times would not come. But if you study the life of these Bible characters, you'll notice that they were not immune to trouble or crises. And so here we pick this story up. Not only this negative engagements, but now we see this needful encouragement. It's picked up in chapter 45. So this is what's happened. I'm going to try to give you a little background and get to where we are. Now, Jacob had Joseph. Joseph was cast in the prison and sold. And so through all these many years, 20-something, Joseph has been, he's been on the throne. He's been cast down in the prison. But he revealed a dream to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh took liking to Joseph. He brought him into his house and he made him second in the kingdom. He was governor. Here's a boy that his brothers had sold him and cast in prison. But now God has promoted him down in Egypt in Pharaoh's house. There's nobody in the land as high as Joseph except for Pharaoh. Joseph is second man in charge. And so something happens. There's a great famine goes across the land. Jacob is back in Canaan and there's nothing to eat. The corn is gone. He heard that there was corn in Egypt. He sent these boys that had tricked him and had sold Joseph and sent them down to Pharaoh to bring corn back to Canaan. When they went to get that corn, guess who they run into? They run into Joseph, the one that they had sold to the Ishmaelites 20-something years ago. And they did not know Joseph, but Joseph knew them. You know, it reminds me, you may forgive people that's done you wrong, but you never forget about people that's done you wrong. Somebody say amen right there. And so here they're standing before Joseph and they don't even know it. So Joseph makes a play with things. Joseph asked something. He said, "Where are you boys from?" They said, "Oh, we're from Canaan." And he said, "Well, I want to know something. Who's your daddy?" He said, "Oh, he's an old man." And they said, Joseph asked, "Is he okay?" They said, "Yes, he's fine." Well, Joseph loved his daddy. Joseph was so glad to hear that his daddy was alive. So now you remember Joseph is sitting under Pharaoh. He's second man in charge. He's the governor of Egypt. And so he tells his brothers, he says, "You go get my daddy and you bring him here." So this is where the story picks up. Jacob is an old man now. And in Genesis 45 and 16, the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, "Joseph's brethren are come, and it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, saying to thy brethren, this do ye, lade your beast and go get you in the land of Canaan. Take your father and your households and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded this, do ye, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and your wives, and bring your father and come." And watch verse 20. "And regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours." And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provisions for the way. To all them he gave each man changes of raiment. He gave Benjamin the youngest more. Verse 23. "And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, 10 she asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away and they departed. And he said unto them, see that you fall not out by the way." In other words, Joseph is telling his brothers, "You go find my daddy and you bring him back to me and don't you get distracted." Verse 25, they come to Jacob's house. They went up out of Egypt and look, came the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father. And told him, saying, "Joseph is yet alive." Now, he's been gone some 20, 25 years. They brought news the first time he's heard that his boy Joseph is alive. Needful encouragement. They told him, saying, "Joseph is yet alive, and he's governor over all the land of Egypt." And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. They told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, "Who is Jacob? It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive, and I will go and see him before I die." Now this is where I want to get into preaching at this morning. We see Jacob. We've seen his negative engagements. He had a life that was very hard and severe. He's an older man now, wondering about his sons, always thought he was dead. But now we see this needful encouragement. I want to tell you, God knows when we need encouragement. A lot of times we serve God and the devil paints such a big, bad picture in front of us, but there's a God of this Bible that's faithful to give us encouragement. Now I want you to notice what happens. He's been sitting there for years thinking his boy was dead. They come back and tell him this encouragement. Look at verse 23. He heard about his wealth. To his father he sent after this manner 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt. Now you may be discouraged this morning, but I want to ask you something. Do you realize what God has done for you and me? When he heard about Joseph, a type of our Christ, he encouraged the father by the wealth. He looked and here comes all of this corn and food that needed to keep his family alive. So God brings them right down into Jacob. Not only do we see the wealth he's seen, but look at the words he heard in verse 25. The Bible said they went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan to Jacob their father and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive and he's governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. He's still a man so filled with doubt. God's trying to encourage him. He showed him his wealth. He's given him his words. And he's still doubting. He says, there's just no way this could be true. Can I tell you this morning that God gives hope in a hopeless situation? Can I tell you that God gives help in a helpless situation? God gives heart in a heartless situation. Could you imagine being Jacob through the years of tragedy that he's seen, but he's winding down now, soon to die, and God sends him encouragement. So this is what happens, and I want you to see what happens. He was encouraged by the wealth. He's encouraged by the words, but he's still doubting. But now look at the wagons. The Bible said, and they told him all the words of Joseph in verse 27, which he said to them. And when he saw the wagons that Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. You know, the wagons convinced him. The wealth didn't really impress him, and the words didn't really speak to his heart. But when he looked out there and he seen those wagons, the Bible said, and his spirit revived. Let me tell you, it'd do you good this morning to look outside of your windows and look at all the wagon tracks that's been around your yard for years. How God has proved Himself to be faithful. Honey, let me tell you, you may be here today and your heart is on the bottom. You hang on, honey. The wagons are coming. Jesus is coming. And they're stamped from a far country. They don't have Canaan stamped on them. They're stamped from another country. I'm glad Jesus is coming. And the wagons are all going to take us out of this place. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, stay here then. The Bible said, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know, Jacob's heart revived. I want to ask y'all something. Do you think he felt very discouraged? I hear people say a lot of times, you know, you can have revival every day of your life. No, there's sometimes that we need our heart revived. And you'll notice the way that his heart was revived. He looked and seen what Joseph had done for him. It'll do us a lot of good to look around this morning and see what our heavenly Joseph, the Lord Jesus, has done for us. You see, Jacob. In this passage now where I want to get to, this is very important. I want you to hang with me 10 minutes and I'm done preaching. The negative engagements, the needful encouragement. But now look in chapter 46 and verse 1 that I'm preaching out of. Look at this new environment. Something's just happened now that was totally strange to Jacob. He's got to leave Canaan and go to Egypt. Are you kidding me? He's an old man. Everything he's ever known was in Canaan. His grandfather worshipped in Canaan, Abraham. His daddy Isaac worshipped in Canaan. Everything he knew was in Canaan. You know something, it's hard for old people to change. You know something that the young people don't see in America today. I came up in the old school of doing things. And now this big transition that's happening in this country. You know, the young people, they don't realize what's happening because they've never been back in the old country. And you know, it's hard for an old man to move. Now let's think about it a minute. He's got to get everything he's got up and go down to Egypt. There's a problem with that. His grandfather got in a lot of trouble at Egypt. His daddy Isaac had been warned not to go to Egypt. But now, he's commissioned to go down into Egypt and find Joseph. Can I tell you, the Bible tells us to come out from the world and be you separate. But can I tell you, we're living a day and hour when we've got to realize Egypt's all around us and we've got to be looking for our Joseph on our journey. Can you imagine us older men? You get this commission. Don't worry about your stuff because we all love stuff. And I want you to come to Joseph. Now, this was an astounding statement. And I want you to look how the Bible addresses this. This is the thrust of the message, and I want you to see it. And Israel, you know who Israel is? He's Jacob, right? God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. A prince with God's his new name. But now God's told him, in this new environment, he's going to have to leave. He's going to have to leave the comfort zone, the things that's always been. He's going to have to disconnect and go to a strange place. Hey, young people do good in a strange place, but old people don't. When I was 18 years old and moved from Middle Tennessee, I moved in with Renee's grandparents. I adjusted fine. I mean, it was new environment. It was a big deal. But I adjusted real good. But now at 60 years old, Brother Steve, if somebody made me move in the back room of her grandparents, that would be a huge adjustment. I know where all my stuff's at. So you see this new environment, it's really devastating to him. He's really wondering. I wonder, has God ever asked you to go places or do things that you've wondered about? Has God ever showed you in your life that you can make it in a new area? Now look what he says. Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba. Where's Beersheba? It's on the farmost outskirts of Canaan. When he leaves there, honey, he's going into Egypt, into the Nile. He knows nothing about Nile life. He'd never seen a crocodile. He knew nothing about the Nile life. He was a shepherd. He knew about sheep and the desert country, the hill country and the valleys. Now God has commissioned him to move across in life. So he mentions him as Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba. And look what he does. And he offered sacrifices unto God of his father Isaac. Mom and Daddy, it does matter how you train your children. Jacob had seen his daddy Isaac pray unto God and do sacrifices. And that's all he knew to do. You see, he gives us great instruction this morning. When God has upset where we've always been, and if we've got to go to places of the unknown and the dreaded places, could you imagine having to get rid of everything you got and go to, what a dread that'd be. Man, we moved one time about 4 years ago. Let me tell you, that was chaos. That was chaos. We've been at that place nearly 36 years. It was amazing. The going in new places, the unknowing, the unsettledness. And church, let me tell you something. There's no doubt in my heart, and you listen to your preacher this morning, God is allowing us to go in places of uneasiness. The new environment, his dreads, his difficulties, and his doubts. Now, verse 2, something happens. I'm done preaching. When he prayed, God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night, and all of a sudden the passage changes. That got my attention. He called him Israel, his new name, but look how now he refers to him. God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night, and now he calls him by his old earthly name, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. You see, God spoke to him, Jacob, Jacob, because he was so full of doubt. He was so full of distress. He was so scared of the unknown. I'm having to do things that I didn't intend to do. I'm having to go places I didn't intend I'd have to go. But God spake unto him in the vision of the night. He said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. And he said, look what your Bible says. I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. And I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. You see, this is what the devil will show you. The devil will show you, you might think that God is bringing you down and you'll never get back up. But God said, I'm going to bring you down, but I'm going to bring you back up. Let me tell you something. You can trust God in trials. You can trust God in tribulations. You can trust God on the roadmap of life wherever this life takes you. He said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. Now this is what's happened. When Jacob left out of Canaan, there were 70 of his family came out with him. He goes down into Egypt and he moves into Joseph's community. And God begins to increase and bless him. And when Jacob dies, there is millions of the Israelites. You see, God always backs up what he said he would do. He said, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to raise up a nation through your seed. And you know, a lot of times when we go down, we never do think about getting back up. And this morning, God may be in your life. You may be facing some things of uncertainty. You may be facing some places that you've never been. But look what God says. He says, I am God. I am God. The God of your father. Fear not to go down into Egypt. I will there make thee a great nation. Now he says this in verse 4. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. Now, preacher, what's going on here? Brother Daniel, I want you to come this morning. Well, Jacob goes down into Egypt. He moves into Joseph's community right under Pharaoh, and God takes care of him in Egypt. He gets ready to die, and he brings all of those children before him. He had 12 children, Jacob did. And he told every one of them about their life and how that what was going to happen. The Bible says that he raised up on the edge of the bed and he picked up his feet and he laid in the bed and he died. And guess who was there with him? Joseph. And did you catch this in verse 4, what the Bible said? I never knew what this meant till I studied it out. He said, I'll go down with thee into Egypt, and I will surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. You see, his soul was passing into the hands of the faithful. His soul was passing into the hands of the faithful. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with this text? Oh, it's got everything in the world to do with it. I'm glad when we lay this old body down, that my soul will pass in the hands of the faithful Joseph, and he will cover our eyes. We'll wake up in the glorious city where the builder and the maker is God. I want to ask you something today. Are you in a transition in life? Is God asking you to go places spiritually in your heart that you've never been, and you're wondering, will God be with me there? He sure will. Preach about, what about when I'm dying? If you're saved, I sure am glad there's the hands of another that will be there when we die. I won't die by myself. For the hands of the Savior is still reaching out this morning. This is the whole story. Christ died for you. You can trust Him. If you've never been saved, it'd be a great morning to come and trust Jesus by faith, to be your Savior, forgive you of your sins. And secondly, some of you, it seems like that things have taken place in your life and it's uprooted everything you've ever known. Now there's a transition. You know what you need to do? You need to trust God, for He said, I am God. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Brother Daniel said,